910 WJZW. Carlin Ellick with Dr. Dean Baird here on AM 910, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, Dr. Dean's clinic, the sponsor of this portion of the program. They're open 6 days a week. We'll give you the contact information at the end of the conversation. But Dr. Dean, good morning to you on this beautiful Monday morning.
Good morning, Carl and Ellick.
That was subdued, wasn't it?
Everybody else in here.
No.
Well, when I came in here, everybody's talking about how sleepy they were.
And oh, my God.
I've just kind of fallen into the same trance, so I guess we're going to have to revive ourselves. Right?
I think so. It better be something in that bottled water there besides water.
It's just water.
Okay.
I need some Chihuahua energy.
So, is this a D or a C day, dog or cat day?
D. Well, I'm going to talk about pancreatitis. Cats can get pancreatitis, technically. It's much more difficult to diagnose and probably not as common.
More prevalent in dogs?
More prevalent in dogs.
Okay.
And, you know, this is usually something I choose to bother everybody about around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because of people feeding scraps over Thanksgiving, Christmas,
scraps,
all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason I wanted to talk about it is that it's not all, an exclusively holiday problem anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the incidence, anecdotally, this is not because I've read some report. This is what we're seeing, of pancreatitis seems to be going up. Now, we've got a test now that you can do at point of care in the hospital that's a lot more accurate than anything we've had before, meaning that we get a dog that's having vomiting or diarrhea, and you do basic blood work, and the pancreatic enzymes might be elevated, but they're not specific for that.
Okay.
And sometimes we don't know whether that's what they've really got or not.
Hmm.
Well, we got a test now called pancreatic-like immunoreactivity that's much more accurate. So we can tell that those animals really do have pancreatitis.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not just that. There's just more of it. There are more cases that we see with – dogs have always been renowned for having gastroenteritis because they eat so many things they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Cats do that too, but dogs do it a lot more.
Okay.
And that's a dilemma because you don't know which one of these dogs has got something there you need to cut out, which is a whole nother show. We're not going to get into that one.
Quick sidebar question. These facts, these stats that you're citing there, is this only in the last couple of 3-4 years?
There's no stats. This is anecdotal.
Anecdotal.
I'm telling you my impression of what
from
we're
the
seeing.
Last couple of years. The reason I'm asking was I thought maybe with the pandemic back in 2020 and subsequent to that, that so many more people were indoors with their pets, feeding them, perhaps not.
I believe that may be correct.
So just coming off the top of my head, is it not good to feed your pets off the table?
No. He really was sleepy this morning.
No, I'm just, I mean, I know what I'm hearing. I know what I'm hearing, but is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm saying.
Okay.
So we're gonna start from the ground up on this. And that's important, not because of Ellick, but because we probably have other listeners out there who want to know the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's forget about the statistical change, which is not statistical, it's anecdotal.
Right.
You need to be careful about that.
Observational, yeah.
Observational, and just talk about what is pancreatitis. Be able to start with what is the pancreas. That's an organ that lies next to the duodenum. There's two limbs of it, in dogs anyway, one near the duodenum, one on the side of the stomach toward the spleen, and it has more than one function. The function that most people are really aware of is that the pancreas produces insulin, which is the hormone that regulates blood glucose.
Right.
It also produces glucagon, which is kind of the opposite hormone from insulin. And those two work together to do that, to regulate how much glucose is in the blood and how much of it is stored in the liver as glycogen and keep that balance correctly so that the blood glucose level is not too high.
Mm-hmm.
Animals that can't do that, can't produce enough insulin, are diabetic, have diabetes mellitus type 1, which means there's not enough insulin being produced. The other function of the pancreas is to make digestive enzymes, amylase, lipase, that type of thing. And those enzymes help digest food. Amylase digests starch, lipase digests fat. So the reason pancreatitis happens is that, well, there's more than one potential reason. I really don't know why it happens in people, like what you're talking about.
Right.
But in dogs, it usually happens because they're fed a fatty meal or their diet has too much fat, however way you want to look at it, and that causes inflammation in the pancreas. Pancreatitis is an inflammatory problem. The pancreas becomes inflamed, and it decreases the blood supply throughout the pancreas because of the inflammation and the swelling, and then that makes the animal have vomiting and be really sick, sometimes diarrhea, sometimes a fever, and it can be a fatal event. That's not common. That's not what usually happens.
Okay.
Be a fatal event in people, too.
Yeah.
But it does happen. In some cases, the pancreatitis becomes so fulminant and dangerous that it sets off a cascade in the body that results in the animals having, I'm going to get all the technical stuff, but a whole process that results in them dying. Now, that's not what we typically see.
Right.
What we typically see is that they get sick and they're having vomiting and diarrhea. Well, the reason Carl made the comment about the dogs eating stuff is if you got a dog that comes in and are having vomiting and diarrhea and the owner is not really on top of what they've had to eat, then you're in no man's land. Do they have pancreatitis? Have they eaten a sock? Have they eaten a bunch of some kind of poop out in the yard that's not dogs? It's maybe, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Really?
That's the one of the big major evaluation and diagnostic dilemmas of a veterinarian that sees dogs is figuring out why that's going on.
Okay.
But pancreatitis particularly, you almost need to stay focused, happens because usually the fat, but it's not really quite that simple. For example, Schnauzers as a breed are much more prone to having pancreatitis than other breeds, although I think we're seeing some other breeds try to catch them. Hmm. And some of those dogs that are Schnauzers or some dogs that are not Schnauzers can actually develop pancreatitis on a regular diet without being fed any additional fat at all. And that means that some of those dogs have to actually be on a reduced fat diet because they're prone to getting pancreatitis, even though they're not fed anything extra.
Interesting.
So it really depends a lot on the dog. And that's one of the points that I wanted to make, that talking about it in July instead of November, is that it's a problem, like you said, Carl, I think, with everybody being at home feeding their dogs and being indiscriminate about it.
Mm-hmm.
A major problem with humanity is being indiscriminate about feeding pets.
Amen.
We work on this every day and wonder why nobody's home when we're telling them. But it happens, and that's just the way people are. Then we got people that really are discriminant about that and really do work on it, and it makes a big difference. Or they have one of those pets that is really prone to having pancreatitis, and you really have to not feed them scraps or whatever, but really feed them a low-fat diet anyway because of the fact that they're so prone to having the problem.
This makes, I would think, make it very difficult for owners of dogs that are outside dogs.
Well, yeah, because you don't know what they're going
to
eat.
You can't control that part,
Yeah, well, you can control how much they're outside.
Well, that too, yeah. But
yeah, you can't control it if they're out there.
Right.
Ultimately, all the control's in the hands of the pet owner.
Yeah, it's up to the owner, yeah.
So, okay, so being more focused and more technical about this, for the sake of Alec and those other people that really don't know as much about it, what these dogs are going to do typically is they're going to feel bad. They're going to be depressed. They're going to have vomiting, which is the most common symptom. They may have diarrhea. They may have a fever. They may have abdominal pain. It just depends on the dog. You get all different sorts of these things. And because of what I said earlier, that we see dogs coming in with various combinations of this going on, if we know they've been fed something, that helps us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it, you know, something they shouldn't, like what Alec asked about. Or if we know that this is the dog that has a tendency to eat everything laying in the floor, that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are some dogs just don't do that.
Right.
And then we got other dogs that we know the owner's on really all the time trying to keep them from eating stuff.
You get this flip-flop out of Fuzzy over here.
Well, flip-flop's one of the things that have been cut out of dogs, or at least a part of one.
Yeah. You've said tennis shoes, too.
Tennis shoes. I mean, yeah, we could talk all day. We need to do a dog eating stuff program again.
Yeah.
We've done it before. But it's really refreshing when Alec says what he does, because it makes me remind myself that we got new people out there that don't know this stuff, and that's why we keep doing this. Okay.
Right.
So then the animals are dehydrated because of the vomiting, and that makes the pancreatitis worse. Because remember I said it's an inflammatory problem because the pancreas not getting enough blood supply.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dehydrated, then there's less fluid in the body, which is less fluid in the blood vessels. So then they can become a cascade where they're already sick. It's already inflamed, and now there's less blood to it, and it gets more inflamed. So one of the really important things about treating pancreatitis is giving them actually the most important thing is fluid therapy.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it can really do a lot to get the pancreas back to being not inflamed because of blood supply going to it from the body.
So the treatment then thereafter, it still seems to me up in the air in terms of...
Well, there are other things you can do. I mean, we're going to give medicine to keep them from throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give them fluids. We're going to give them pain medicine if they need it, symptomatic stuff. And then, you know, it depends on how they do. Once they're getting more stable and they can eat and not throw up, then we usually feed them a low-fat food every time just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The question is this one of those patients that's going to have to go to low-fat food long term? Well, depends. If they've been doing okay on the food they're on and they just ate something they shouldn't, we probably won't change that.
Okay.
If it's one of those that got sick and we don't think they got anything, sometimes we will.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're afraid they're going to start having it regularly.
Right.
And some of them do, which is a scary thought. And I guess maybe that's an issue in human medicine because obviously, or I don't know if it's obvious, mm-hmm. but it would seem to me like people don't get pancreatitis because somebody fed them a fatty meal. But I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit more obscure.
And to your point there, it might have been carried out over a longer period of time with the same sort of infraction, if you will, against the pancreas.
It could be.
Yeah.
So the history from the owner about what the pet has been fed and what it has access to eat that it may not have been fed is as important for this as anything that we do. It's always important, but it's really important for this problem.
How common is this in dogs?
It's very common.
Is it really? Wow.
That's why I'm talking about it today. And we think it's getting more common.
Do we have enough to carry over for a second program? Well, you're not going to be here next.
No, I'm going to be gone a couple of weeks, but I really think we ought to do a program on foreign bodies that mm-hmm. we mentioned, dogs eating stuff, which is similar.
Right.
And
okay.
I don't know how far out there is a carryover. I might not remember myself in 3 weeks.
Right. We'll just let it go right now.
We'll see how that works out, I guess.
Dr. Dean Baird joins us from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital once a week at 8:15 every Monday morning. They are located at 4340 North Roan Street in the Boones Creek community of Johnson City. And they're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. What's your phone number, Doc?
282-3771.
There we go. You take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.